able to do what they need to do to bring forth this drama. So in that, folks, we got a couple of special people here that have traveled all over the place, have led this ministry for many, many years, in Renee and Dwayne Corbin. And they have an amazing heart for people. And because of that, God has strategically placed them where they can just touch a lot of people's lives. And we have just kind of fallen in love with them. I've adopted them. I've adopted them as my parents. And we are going to allow Dwayne to come and minister this morning. I know God has just filled his heart full of so many things, and we were so blessed to have them last year, so blessed again this year. So will you welcome Dwayne as he comes this morning? Amen.
Hey, Dad, bless you, man. You're welcome, son. All right. Praise the Lord. Isn't it just a great day? It is above 32 degrees. Praise the Lord for that. The ice age is over. Long live Jesus. Amen. I'm always excited, and I trust you are. I want you to be excited, number one, about Jesus. And the other thing I want you to be excited about is bringing people to Jesus. One of the things I'd always appreciated is about Andrew is all he ever did in Scripture was introduce people to Jesus. And that's what we need to work on tonight. And so, guys, go out there, tell your family, your friends, and yes, even your enemies, bring them to Jesus tonight. Amen. Don't you just love your pastor? I mean, don't you just have the greatest pastor in North Carolina? You know, I just wish that I could bottle up some of what he has and take it and give it to some other pastors. I love it when I walk in and he says, can we just love on Jesus today? Because, you know, sometimes we get so bogged down and so caught up with so many other things that we actually forget. It's like I told the cast, I think it was Friday night, that people lose Jesus in church. Mary and Joseph lost Jesus in church. They did. You read it in Luke. And they did, but they looked for him for 3 days and they found him in church. You know, you can still find Jesus in church. Yeah, he shows up where two or three are gathered together in my name. He said, there I am. Yeah, you know what? You know why Jesus said that? He said, if I can find two or three people that can agree on any one thing, I'm going to show up. I got to see this for myself. It's like, wow, we got some folks in agreement. Let me go check this out. All right. If you got your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. There's just really two verses, but 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we're going to look at verses 8 and 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. All right, when you get there, say amen. All right, I still hear some pages. I'm going to let you turn right there. I still love to hear pages being turned in a church. You know, praise God for smartphones and Bible apps and all those things like that. To me, there's still nothing to replace the written word of God on paper. And this is what it says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not. Everybody say, but not. But not crushed, perplexed, but not. Say, but not. In despair, persecuted, but not. Say, but not. Abandoned, we are struck down, but not. Say, but not. Not destroyed. This morning, I want to talk to you about untying the knots. You don't spell it with a K. It's N-O-T-S. Negative opinions that stifle. Negative opinions that prevent us from being who we are supposed to be in Christ Jesus. And in these two little verses, there are four knots. And God wants us to help us untie these knots so that we can be the individuals that He has called us to be. Amen? And so we want to take a look at that. And because, guys, understand this and never forget this. The first place the devil is going to attack you is that gray matter between your ears. That is the first place he's going to attack. And then we get these thoughts and we get these doubts and we get all of these things that are absolutely unleashed, unloosed in our minds, and it causes us to be less than what God intended us to be. Now, let's just take a look at the first half of verse 8. It says, we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Now, the word here, I love to do word studies. It's just me. It's just the way I was taught. But the word here for crushed is stenokoreo. Everybody say stenokoreo. Now, it's a compound word. Stenos, it means a narrow, restricted place. And it's something, it's some place where you are almost like you're backed up into a corner and there's no way out of it. And then koreo means place. And so that's what it means. All right, Preston, come on up here. I want you to lay down on the floor for me. Come here. Come here, Angry Bird. Amen. You got to love Angry Birds. Now lay down there. Just lay down there. That's it. Now, and guys, just to illustrate what this word actually means. Back in the day when people were going to be punished, one of the things they would do is that they would have the man lay down and they would literally stake him to the ground where he was absolutely helpless. And then what they would do is that they would pick up this boulder. They had a device, a crane type device, where they would pick up a boulder that weighed a couple of thousand pounds. And what they would do is that they would dangle this over the man, and then they would drop it 1/2 inch at a time. And on the first release of the boulder, you ever have somebody sit on your chest? It's just hard to breathe, isn't it? Somebody sits on your chest and all of a sudden, now can you imagine a couple of thousand pounds sitting on your chest? And all of a sudden, you know, it's like you can't breathe. And they would just leave it there. They would just leave it there, so uncomfortable. You know, and I could sit on Preston right now and I could make him very uncomfortable. But he's got to go to hell later today. So I don't want to ruin the kid. So he's an angry bird. But they would do that, and then they would drop that boulder another 1/2 inch. By this time, the ribs would begin to crack. Now, he was very much alive. But now, as the ribs would crack, and of course, making it very difficult to breathe, but things would begin to happen. Blood would begin to ooze out of the mouth, out of the nose, sometimes out of the ears, and yes, even sometimes blood would come out of the eyes because of the great pressure and the strain that he was under. And they would just keep doing this, and of course, until the man finally expired. But most of the process, this guy was still alive. He was stenokoreo. He was in great distress. He was being crushed in every aspect of the meaning of the word. Thank you, Preston. You can sit down. But guys, yeah, give him a hand. He's a good guy, even when he's awake. So we like Preston. But guys, understand that I know that today even Christians can feel that way. You ever go through life and you feel like you've got the weight of the world on your shoulders? You ever feel like the world has just absolutely backed you up into a corner? You've got this pressure on your chest. And you know, sometimes you're trying to hold everything together and all hell is breaking loose and you're trying to hold your family together. You're trying to hold the situations of your life together. And it just seems like everything's unraveling. Because you feel like you're being squashed, you're being crushed. The society today, culture today, it's putting a squeeze on us. But here's the good news. We don't have to live life that way. God said we can actually be set free. We can be delivered from this knot, from this thing that ties us up and binds us up and keeps us from opening up and getting out into the wide open area of God's blessings. And so, guys, there's a couple of things that we have to do to overcome this knot, this negative thing that has come into our life, this negative opinion that keeps us from being what Christ expects us to be. So, guess the first thing that we have to have this morning? It's an attitude. We've got to start with an attitude. Now, I'm not talking about a teenage attitude. You know, usually when you hear the word attitude, you have a negative thought. You know, it's like, you ever ask your teenager to do something and they roll their eyes up inside their head? You know, where you want to smack them? You know, that's a negative. That's a negative. And Caleb may be the only guy I ever know that's never rolled his eyes. I don't know. And Dad's not sure. Okay. All right. See, even Dad's silence declares Caleb's guilt. Okay. But guys, I'm not talking about that negative kind of attitude and a teenager kind of attitude. I'm talking about an overcoming attitude that we find in Philippians chapter 2, where it says that our attitude needs to be attitude of Christ Jesus, who did a couple of things. Number one, he emptied himself and he became nothing. And he took on the very nature of a servant. And because of this, that God has given him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's the kind of attitude. We got to have an overcoming attitude. Jesus overcame death, hell, and the grave. This is the kind of attitude that no matter what life is, no matter how bad the life is putting a squeeze on you, to know that there's still more for us than against us. And so guys, attitude's not enough, is it? You know, Peter had attitude. I love Peter. I mean, I really sometimes I think I'm a descendant of Peter. You know, because Peter was the kind of guy that put his foot in his mouth. You know, and I've done that many, many times over life. And you know, one day Jesus comes along and he said, look, y'all going to deny me. One of these days, very soon, you guys are going to deny me. And Peter spoke, not me, Lord. I ain't leaving you, Jesus. Listen, everybody else can run on you, desert you, and leave you all by yourself. I am not leaving you, Jesus. Oh, Peter, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. You see, attitude wasn't enough. So guys, what do we need to put with our attitude? We've got to have some seed. Now, what is the seed? There's only one thing that's the seed. It's not in praise and worship, and it's wonderful. Guys, aren't you so glad we still live in a free world, a free country, that we don't have to go underground, we don't have to hide, but we can come here and openly and expressively let God know how much we love and appreciate Him. But guys, understand, money is not the seed. It's great fertilizer, but it's not the seed. Fasting is not the seed. There's only one seed, and that is the Word of God. So what we've got to do is we've got to take our attitude and we've got to tie it together with the seed of God's Word. So how do we overcome this feeling of being crushed? All right, go with me to Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And you know this. If you've been living for the Lord for any length of time, you know this verse. And Romans 8, 28 says, it says here, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him and have been called according to His purpose. So how do we overcome this feeling like the world, the weight of the world is sitting on our chest? Guys, to know that in all things God is at work. Now, what things? The Bible says all things. So what does that mean? You know, if you do a study on the word all, it literally means all. It means everything. So guys, that means snow things, ice things, high elevation things, you know, weather things. Thank God February's almost over things. Let's get to spring things. Church things, family things, work things, all things. God is at work in all things. Why? Because God has one objective, the main objective for God, the reason He works in good things and bad things, big things and little things. There is one objective that God has, and He wants to conform you and me. He wants to conform the body. He wants to conform us to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. That is the ultimate goal of God, to conform us to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. And that's why He's always working, the synergizing. He's taking all of these things, and it's all in His hand. Everything that touches my life goes through nail-scarred hands. There is nothing that has ever taken place in our lives that caught God off guard. He knows everything that's going on. And so, guys, we get that attitude and we put it together with the seed. If you're feeling crushed today, we start with an attitude. I am not going to stay this way. I refuse to allow myself to be backed up into a corner. I will not allow the pressures of this world to come against me because God wants me to be out into the wide open areas of His blessings. And that's the first knot. All right, now, let's go back to 2 Corinthians, the last part of verse 8, and it says, as soon as I find it, we are perplexed but not in despair. What does it mean to despair? Now, the word in the Greek is exapereomai. I love that word. It's a great word. I can't say it without spitting, but it's a great word. Now, everybody say ek. Now, ek means out of. Now, but the word here is exa. See, as soon as you put an A on the ek, the positive becomes a negative. So ek means out of, but exa means no out, that you can't get it out. And pereomai is the Greek word from what we get our word for pores. And so exapereomai means there is something in your life that you cannot get it out of your life. And because you cannot get it out of your life, it leads to despair. You ever see a teenager on a special event, maybe a prom or homecoming, and the day of the big event, they wake up and they've got this huge zit either in the middle of their forehead or on the end of their nose. And they can't get it out. I've even known young men that would allow their mothers to put makeup on it to cover it up. But there ain't no covering up. That thing sticks out there so bad, I don't care what you put over it, people are going to see it. I mean, I have seen teenagers, they've got that blemish on their face. And don't look at me, I'm so hideous, don't look at me. Guys, that leads to despair. They can't get that thing out of their life. And guys, you know, there are things that are maybe inside of you that you cannot get out of your life. And you try and you try and you try. My family, they are psychos. They really are. I don't know how else to, I love my family. But they are nuts. And you know, every December 31st of any given year, you know, my mom, my dad, my aunts and uncles, they all get together. And on New Year's Eve, they'd make that resolution. They'd have a cigarette between two fingers in one hand and a glass of booze in the other hand. And this is it. No more. Or giving up the booze. This is my last cigarette. Happy New Year to me. They'd all do it. And not one time did they ever make it through January 1st? Never made it. Because as soon as they get up, hung over from New Year's Eve, they say, I got to have a cigarette and a drink. God is my witness. That's how they operated. And so even though they would try, my mom smoked for almost 30 years. And you know what? She finally was able to quit. She'd finally accepted Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. It wasn't until the Lord came along to help her to get that thing out of her life. Guys, have you ever tried and tried and tried to get rid of a habit, to stop doing this, to quit doing that, and you fail time and time and time again, and finally you throw up your hands in disgust and you're just in despair. It's like, I don't even know why I try anymore. But again, guys, we don't have to live life that way. God said that there's an out. He's got a solution for us. So guys, what do we got to start with? Attitude. We got to start with the same kind of attitude that Jesus had. We're going to overcome and we're going to defeat. We're going to conquer with the help of the blood of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit that all started with the love of the Father. This is where we're going to start. We're going to start with an attitude. But guys, we got to have more than attitude, don't we? What do we need? Got to have some seed. All right, so what's the seed? What do we got to have this morning? All right, let's look at, go with me to the 23rd Psalm. Go to Psalm 23. And let's see what it says here. Psalm 23 in verse 4. It says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. All right, now guys, also go with me to Hebrews chapter 6. Go to me with Hebrews chapter 6, and I'm going to start with verse 18. I want you to see something here this morning. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18, I'm on page 1165. Now look at what the scripture says here. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where Jesus, who went before us, has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Friends, if you've got some things in your life that you are trying to get out of your life, understand what the seed of God's word says. That hope is the anchor for your soul. What is the soul of man? It is the will. It is the mind. It is the emotions. It is those things where the devil sometimes will try to set up his playground so that he can just mess with you. He wants to mess with your mind. He wants to manipulate your emotions so that your will does not line up with him. And so, guys, to know that we can overcome that. Why? Because hope is the anchor. Hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the anchor for our soul and causes us to meet with success rather than and then us going into the depths of despair. And so that's one of those knots. Now, let's go to verse number 9, 2 Corinthians. Let's look at verse 9 here this morning as soon as I get back to my place. One of these days I'll get smart enough to start marking my Bible. All right, in verse 9 it says, persecuted, but not... Now wait, did I read that right? Yeah, persecuted, but not abandoned. All right, so guys, here we are. We're looking at our third knot. And so understand what it means to be abandoned. And in the Greek word, it literally means to be left behind, to leave in a state of helplessness. Have you ever felt that way before? And so, guys, we get to that place where we absolutely are abandoned. Have you ever felt that way? I have felt that way. I can still remember at Bellevue Assembly of God Church. And I mean, the service was going on. People were praising the Lord. And all I could do is lean up against the back wall of the sanctuary because I just felt like there was nobody around me. And I recognize that in today's society that people can actually be sitting in a crowded room and absolutely feel abandoned. They feel like everybody, there are husbands today that they feel like they have been abandoned by their families. Guys, there are kids today that they feel like they have been abandoned by their parents. There are mothers today who feel like they have been a failure because their kids no longer listen to them and they just have abandoned everything. And you know, guys, because, you know, I haven't seen my dad since I was 9 years old. My dad was a great alcoholic. And, but I did something as a teenager that I thought I would never do. And the thing that I did was the very thing that my dad did to me. You see, I used to belong to this gang. I call us a gang. We weren't one of those street thugs. I mean, we would do stupid, crazy things, you know, like putting cows up flagpoles and things like that. Those are the kind of things that we would do. But, we had this gang of guys and we liked to go to the movies. You know, we were teenagers. You know what? We all had the money. We had the money. We could pay for it. What fun is that in going to the movies and pay for it? You see, at the movie theater where we were teenagers, we discovered, you know, you ever go to the movie theater and you're looking at the screen and down at the bottom are two red signs. They say exit. Sometimes they're green. But you see, we discovered that those back doors of the movie theater, they always left one of those unlocked. And so what we would do is that we would go to the back of the movie theater. We would pry our fingers between the door and the door jamb until we found the door that was unlocked. And then we would walk in and we'd watch the movie. Well, one night we're doing it. Don't you drew this, you heathens. Now listen to me. I wasn't saved when I did this. Okay? I don't want to ever hear about you guys trying to break into a movie theater. I'll beat you, Preston. But we get to the movies that night, and we get to the very first door. And we're trying to pry our fingers to, and here was a head of sublights at the other end of the building. Now, this particular vehicle had another set of lights on the top, red and blue. And we really decided that it was not in our best interest to stay in fellowship. And so we took off running, and we ran around to the front of the movie theater, and the police officer, he put his car in reverse, and he met us around the front. I had ducked underneath a van, another friend of mine had ducked underneath a car, and all the rest of the guys were caught like deer in headlights. And now here they were, and they all got busted. I mean, here the cop, he caught them all. Except the two of us, and all of a sudden, here comes the cop, and I'm underneath this van, and he stops right beside my head. And I look out, and I see these nice, high-glossy black shoes. And God is my witness, you know what was going through my mind? I wanted to reach out and tie his shoes together. I really did. I did. That was, and I thought, Dwayne, you do this, you're going to jail, fool. And so I just stayed there. And guys, I had forsaken. I did something that I never thought I would do. I did something my dad did to me. That night, I was willing to forsake every one of my buddies so that I would not have to go to jail. The very thing my dad did to me, I didn't even realize this until years later. But guys, we can overcome those feelings of being abandoned. What do we got to start with? Attitude. We've got to have an attitude. And then, guys, what do we have to go that goes along with the attitude? What do we need, church? We got to have seed. We got to have the seed of God's word. All right? So what does the word of God say about this? All right? So let's look at Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Hebrews 13, this is the seed that helps us overcome these feelings of being abandoned, this knot that we've got us all tied up. It says here in Hebrews 13:5, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Matthew 28:20. It says here, this is red letter stuff here, Jesus, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of this age. And so guys, this is how we overcome these feelings of abandonment. And you know, after I had gotten saved, 3 months after I got saved, all of my buddies that we used to try to sneak into the movies with, they were all arrested. And they all went to jail. And I did my first prison ministry. You know, because I remembered how I abandoned them that night at the movies. But you know what? After they had gone to jail, and I knew if I had not come to Christ, I'd have been in jail with these guys because of what they did. And so what? I went to that jail and I visited those guys and I prayed with them. And you know what? Some of these guys have come to the Lord and some of them haven't. Because I believe when I say that life is a series of choices, life is a series of choices. And we all make our own choices in how we want to live life. But guys, this is how we can overcome those feelings of abandonment. That guys, you know, there's an old saying that if you want a friend, you have to be a friend. We just have to be able to step out of the boat and really begin to allow the Lord to minister to us and through us. All right, let's go to the final knot. In verse 9, It says here, Lord have mercy. Okay. Struck down, but not destroyed. Now, what does it mean to be destroyed? What is really the premise of this word? It is to totally annihilate. But guys, there's another one, and it's even more applicable to us. It means to render null and void of one's own purpose. And understand, why has the devil come? Why is he here? There's three reasons: to steal, to kill, and destroy. And he wants your effectiveness in the kingdom of God. He wants your testimony and your ability to witness the power of God's kingdom. He wants it to be null and void. He wants to render you useless in the kingdom of God. He wants to destroy you. But guys, and understand this. If you are worth anything in the kingdom of God, if you have any value in the kingdom of God, know this. The devil's going to knock you down. But now, guys, here's the lesson. Our backside is not for living, it's for learning. And so, guys, we have to learn the lessons. And you want to know a great definition of success? True success is getting up one more time than the devil knocks you down. That's success. That's success. And so, guys, understand, but there comes a time that we have to resist. All right, Caleb and Dalton, stand up here, you two. Now, come here, you guys. All right, one's a good guy, one's a bad guy. Now, I want you guys to face each other. I want you to face each other. Now, guys, I just want you to put your hands on the other one's shoulder, and I just want you guys to start to push both hands. You guys, I want to have a little shoving match here. You guys are pushing and shoving, all right? All right, now, so all right, now stop there, guys. Now, here's the point I want to make this today. Without resistance, there can be no strength. Without an enemy, there can be no victory. All right? Now, we see Dalton, he was getting the advantage over Caleb. But now understand this. Now, if they kept this up day after day after day after day, sooner or later, Caleb's strength would begin to match Dalton's. And there would come a time when Dalton would no longer be able to push Caleb around. Understand, you and I need to get strong spiritually, because if we don't, the devil's going to push us around. And we've got to be able to push back. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Renee's brother. Yeah, these guys. Yeah. Yeah. You know, Dalton's going to hell later today, too. So now, guys, Renee's brother, his name is George. George is what? Yeah, 48. George has been weightlifting since he's 13 years old. He's a big boy. And he does flies. He does flies with 150-pound dumbbells. Like I say, he's a big boy. And one day, George, his bench pressing about 450 pounds, if I remember right, about 450 pounds. Now, George was the kind of guy, he would not grab the bar, but he would just put the bar on his palms, and he would push up with that bar just resting. And as George is going up with this 450 pounds on him, the barbell falls off and pops George in the chest. The bench beneath George broke in two. George was fine. Why? Because without all of that resistance, if he had not for years and years and years and years had been resisting the attack of that weight, the deadness of that weight, if he had not been doing that, it would have hurt him and hurt him bad. But because he had been fighting, he had been resisting, he had been right there in the middle of all of that stuff. When it came against him, he was not injured. Guys, if we just know when the devil comes and he's trying to push you around, It's time to stand up. As Dalton was trying to push around Caleb, it's time to start pushing back, because sooner or later you're going to get strong and you're going to be able to push back on the powers and principalities of darkness, not in your own strength, but in the strength of the Holy Spirit and the blood of Jesus Christ, because He is our ever-present help in the time of need, that He is going to come there and we're going to be able to push Dalton around. We're going to be able to push the powers and principalities around. Just like he was a little skinny kid called Dalton. That's right. Don't look at me like that, boy. So, guys, what do we need to do to overcome these feelings? We got to start with an attitude. If the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, He will quicken your mortal bodies. And so, guys, we have an attitude, a Jesus overcoming attitude, but we tie it together. John 16:33, listen to this. Jesus says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And I love that word peace, because in the Hebrew the word there is shalom. Now, understand the word shalom, it does not mean the absence of strife. Because so many times that's how we define peace. Will you kids get outside and play? You are scraping my last nerve. That is not peace. We think that's peace. You know, if I just get these kids out from underneath my feet, I'm going to be better off. I just need a moment of peace. That's what my mom, will you kids get outside? I just want a moment of peace. My mom used to say it all the time. It's like, you don't love us anymore? Yeah, I love it when you go outside. But the real meaning for the word peace is that no matter what comes against you, that we still look beyond our circumstances and we see that Jesus Christ is still in control. That no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, to know that Jesus Christ is still Lord of our lives and over the circumstances of our life. And it just comes down to a simple matter. If we're going to have that overcoming attitude and we're going to take the seed of God's word, because understand this, it's not whether or not we get, it's not how much of the seed we get, it's whether or not if we get the revelation. We need to get that revelatory word, that rhema word from God that's going to help us to overcome all of these knots that absolutely tie us up, bind us, and restrict us from being what God intended us to be. So guys, and that's what I love about Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames. Because I know for some of you, that means you got to get out of your comfort zone. You know, years ago we had a woman. This is how she would invite people to the drama. You probably don't want to come, but we're having a play at our church. I thought, wow, that really takes a lot of faith, doesn't it? Well, that's an overcoming attitude, isn't it? Guys, bow your heads with me, would you please? The one thing I love about God is He knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly where I am. And I just want to ask you today, remember the ultimate goal for God is to conform you to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. But I'm just wondering today if there is somebody here in this place and you feel the weight of the world is sitting on your chest. You feel like you're being crushed by all of the circumstances around your life, and you just need God to step in and come to your rescue. Or maybe you're one of those people that, Dwayne, I've got some of these things inside of my life, and I've tried and I've tried and I've tried to get it out. And I have not met with success. And it has led me to despair. It has led me to depression, where at sometimes I don't even feel like I can function. I don't even read my Bible. I don't pray. I just spiritually, I have shut down. Dwayne, I feel abandoned. I just feel like I can never make a connection with somebody today. And yet the world is trying to destroy. There are some things that it tied me up and wants to destroy. to render me null and void for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you can relate to any of those things today, and you say, Dwayne, would you pray for me? Would you just put your hand up right now and say, Dwayne, I need prayer. I see 3, 4, 5 hands already. Others right now. Just slip your hand up. Dwayne, I just need somebody. I just need something. I know that I can't keep going the way that I'm going. I need God. Now, guys, anybody else, just slip your hand up. Guys, once you put your hand up, you can put it back down.